I do believe I have a word for you. You know, sometimes you go to a church and you just preach. Then there are other times you go and you feel like you have something to say. And I do have something to say. Now, I don't know how long it will be. All right. So it's not about the length of the sermon. It's really about the quality, you know. And so I'm just going to speak something to you that I really believe is for this church. And it's found in the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter number 1. I want you to look at verse number 17. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. If you're there, say, I'm there. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Everybody say 3 days and 3 nights. Look at verse number 1. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. He answered me. And out of the belly of Shiloh I cried. And he heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea. And the flood surrounded me. And the billows and the waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of my sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down into the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit, O my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer went to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited Jonah into dry ground. Amen. We're going to look at some lessons from the life of Jonah. Lessons from the life of Jonah. Pastor Rhodes, Pastor Darlene, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here this week. There are many things I could say about you both, but I think that I can say a few things because of time. I love you and I respect both of you. I've learned one thing, that respect is given, you know, respect is earned, honor is given. So you should honor everyone, but we don't necessarily respect everyone. So we should honor everyone because they're made in the image of God, but that doesn't mean we respect everyone. So with your pastors, not only do I love them, I honor them, but I respect them. And I respect them as men and women of God and women, men of character and integrity. And John Maxwell said that the greatest thing in life is not to live a successful life, but to live a significant life. And when I think of that quote, I think of Pastor Darlene and Pastor Darrell. Thank you for the opportunity this week. I honor both of you and love you. Would you give it up for your pastors today? Lord, I ask you to bless this time of the Word of God. Let it go forth in power and boldness. Open our ears and our hearts that we would hear your voice. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everyone said a great big amen. Amen. You know, sometimes when we come to the end of the year, and we're coming to the end of the year, can you believe that? Coming to the end of the year, and we get preparations for the next year. We have certain goals that we want to accomplish. We have our calendars and our to-do list. We look over our life. We reevaluate the year that we just had. And I've learned one thing, that just because the calendar changes doesn't mean things really change. Let me say that again. Just because the calendar changes doesn't really mean things change. Because the calendar can change, but that doesn't mean your character changes. You see, I think God is more concerned not about the calendar, but about your conduct. Would you agree with that? And we can go year and year and year, and the calendar can change, and yet our conduct doesn't change. And so I think that God is more concerned about not the calendar, but our conduct. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves every year as we grow in the Lord, as we have spiritual formation, are we growing and developing in the Lord? Are we better today than we were yesterday? Is our character growing and developing today more than it was yesterday? Is there a deeper hunger today for God? Do I have a growth mindset? Is the Lord continuing to work in my life? It's not just about the calendar changing and the year changing and dates changing. It's really about what is changing in me. You see, how does God determine that I'm really ready to move on? You see, we're really programmed by the calendar, aren't we? It seems like we're very good about starting diets on Monday morning. And I do too. I mean, there's something about Monday, but there's also something about Friday. You see, it seems like we're all so programmed about the calendar, changing dates, setting dates. But I'm not sure if God is concerned about us changing dates as more as He wants something to change in us. You see, the book of Jonah is a story about change. It's a story about development. It's a story about not just another day, but it's a story about what God does in us and through us. You see, God told Jonah, I want you to go do something. I want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to go preach the word. You see, Nineveh, if you know anything about Nineveh, they were enemies of God. Not only were they enemies of God, but they were enemies of the Jewish people. And Nineveh was not a place that you wanted to go to. But God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh, and I want you to go there, and I want you to preach. So Jonah gets on a boat, and he begins to go to the opposite direction. He doesn't go to Nineveh. He goes on the opposite direction. And as he's going the opposite direction, guess what happens? A storm comes. And the storm is so bad that the people on the boat, they're like, something is wrong with this picture. The gods are upset. Jonah quickly recognizes that he is disobedient. So he confesses on the boat that it's his fault. Look at verse number 12. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 12, it says this, and he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will calm for you, for I know that there's a great tempest because of me. Now that's a little, to me, that's a little severe. I mean, he just flat out told on himself. He said, just go ahead and throw me into the sea. And the reason why Jonah said that was because he knew that the mindset of these men on the boat, they knew that the weather was controlled because of the gods. And so they understood that if the problem is not corrected, it will get worse. So Jonah confesses, it's me. Throw me overboard. I have been rebellious. I should have went to Nineveh, but I've rebelled. Let me say this and let me say it loud and clear. And this is important. The redemptive work of God starts when you confess that you've done something wrong. I'm going to say that, and I think I'm going to say it loud and clear. The redemptive work of God starts in your life when you confess that you've done wrong. And Jonah, in verse number 12, guess what he does? He confesses he's done wrong. I'm the one that's rebelled against God. I'm the one that should have went to Nineveh. Throw me overboard. And my friends, we are living in a generation where people have a very hard time confessing that they've done anything wrong. You ask people, are you saved? And their response is, saved from what? We don't realize that if we submit to the Lordship of Jesus and confess that we've done wrong, that is when the work of the Holy Spirit starts to work in our life. It's interesting that the 11 disciples in the New Testament called Jesus Lord, but only one of them called him teacher, and it was Judas. Because the 11 submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, while one of them just viewed him as a teacher. What are you saying, preacher? The redemptive work of God starts when we confess that we've done wrong, and that's exactly what happens here. Jonah was thrown overboard, and the Bible says a great fish swallowed him for 3 days and three nights. And then you know the rest of the story. The Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah up on dry ground. And you know, the question, Pastor Rhodes, is I've often wondered is this: what caused God to speak to the fish? What caused Jonah to have a breakthrough? Was it because it was a Monday? Was it because it was a Sunday morning? Is God really concerned about a calendar date? What was it in Jonah's life that caused Jonah to have a breakthrough? What caused Jonah to experience the power of God in such a way that he was vomited out of the ground, out of the belly of the fish? What caused God to speak to the fish? I'm going to give you a few points here, a few lessons that I believe for this church in particular, why God spoke to the fish. And this is so good. Number one, it's because of persistent prayer. Say this with me, persistent prayer. Say it again, persistent prayer. I want you to shout it out, persistent prayer. The one thing that happened in Jonah's life that caused Jonah to experience a breakthrough is persistent prayer. Look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Look at this. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Look at very carefully. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord. Say that with me. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord. Say it again. Then say it one more time. What caused God to speak to the fish? What caused Jonah to have a breakthrough? Number one, persistent prayer. Look at the word, then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. It carries the idea that Jonah probably wasn't praying before. Are y'all hearing me? It is suggesting the fact that Jonah wasn't praying until he got in the belly of the fish. Then Jonah prayed. Somebody say that with me again. Then Jonah prayed. Say it again.
Then Jonah prayed. Then
Jonah it suggests the idea that Jonah wasn't praying until he got in the belly of the fish. He was going in the wrong direction. The fish swallowed him, and then he started praying. Yes, Pastor, that's a great idea to pray when you're in the wrong direction, being thrown overboard, and the fish swallows you. Jonah started praying. Let me just say this. Prayer changes things. I said prayer changes things. Say it again. Prayer changes things. Now, if you haven't got anything that I said, it's important that you get this. Because this is so powerful. I've never seen this before, but when I saw it, Pastor Rhodes, it was like revelation. Don't lose me. Are you ready for this? Look very carefully. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Look at this word. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Look at this. Now the Lord had prepared a what? Great. He prepared a what? Now look, this is before Jonah prayed, right? This is before Jonah prayed. Look at the word fish. It is the Hebrew word. Now, I don't know how to exactly pronounce it, so I'm just going to spell it. D-A-G. Okay? It is a masculine word. Now, words in the Hebrew either are masculine, feminine, or neuter. So when you look at the Hebrew scriptures, am I right, brother? All the words are either masculine, feminine, or neuter. So get this. This is so powerful. Don't lose me. Jonah 1:17, the Lord appointed a great fish. That word fish is the word masculine. It's masculine. Everybody say masculine. So the word fish in Jonah 1:17 is what? Now look at this. Now the Lord prepared a great fish. It swallowed Jonah. Then look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Verse number 1, and the Lord, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the... Hold on. You ready for this? Jonah 1:17, before Jonah prayed, the Hebrew word for fish is what? Then Jonah prays in verse number 1. And that word fish in verse number 1 is feminine. You know why? Because prayer changes things. The thing that was masculine now has become weaker because the feminine word in Hebrew is always weaker than the masculine. So when Jonah began to pray, things begin to change. And guess what Solid Rock has been doing? You've been praying every morning. So guess what? You may not see things change right now, but in the spirit world, things are changing. Things are changing. Somebody say amen. Listen. Hallelujah. It's the same fish. The same fish, but the fish is getting weaker. You may be in the same problem. You may be in the same situation. It may not look like it's changing, but baby, keep praying because it's changing. The same fish, but it's changing. And that's exactly what God does. God puts us in situations to cause us to pray because prayer changes things. And what he didn't realize was that even though he was in the belly of the fish, God put him there so that he would see an opportunity of God's provision. See, look at this. Jonah 1:17. The word belly, the belly of the fish, the great fish appointed to swallow him in the belly of the fish, is the Hebrew word for stomach. But then you go to chapter 2, verse 1. After he prays, the fish is now feminine. The word belly is the word for womb. So what is that saying? That God puts you in a situation where you will pray, and as you pray, that persistent prayer will weaken that situation to the point where that will become a birthplace of God's miracles. Can somebody just stand and say, I know God's working, even when I'm waiting. Woo! God's working. Even though I'm waiting. So Solid Rock Church, don't quit praying. Don't give up. Keep praying because he's working. So the fish that is masculine now becomes feminine. The belly that is a stomach now becomes a womb because he's praying. What can we learn about Jonah? We learn, number one, that the redemptive work of God only happens when you confess you've done wrong. Number two, we learn that God puts us in situations for us to pray. The last thing I want you to see here, not the last one, but almost the last one. I want you to see chapter 2, verse 9. I want you to see this. Look at this. Now, Jonah is in the belly of the fish, right? Everybody say he's in the belly. Somebody say he's down in the belly. And when he's down in the belly, guess what he does? He doesn't complain. He doesn't say, I don't know why
when I've served God for 30 years, you know, and it's okay. We sometimes, listen, I want to jack slap someone. Some, you know, sometimes it just gets on you. Sometimes your life is, you know, aggravating. I get it. But look at the principle here. Jonah is in the belly of the fish. And then verse 9, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to lift up a voice of thanksgiving. And I'm just going to pay my salvation to the Lord, my vows. He begins to worship the Lord. He begins to praise the Lord. And then guess what happens? Look at verse number 10. The Bible says in verse 10, and the Lord spoke to the fish. What are you saying? It is when Jonah began to see things differently. It's when he began to pray. It's when he confessed that he did wrong. He began to praise the Lord in the belly of the fish. And then what does God do? God spoke to the fish. When you begin to praise God, God will begin to speak to things that you don't have the ability to speak to. Hallelujah. He was drowning in the sea, the Bible says. He's drowning in the sea. You see, listen, the fish wasn't punishment. The fish was protection. And sometimes God will deliver you through that which hurts you. He will deliver you through that thing that hurts you. You see, it changed him. He began to praise God. Why did God prepare a great fish? He began to see things differently. He began to see things that I am sent here for a purpose. And that purpose is that God could use this as a womb to bring about a breakthrough. Now, look at verse number 9. He says this. Verse number 9, he says, and I will pay, chapter 2, verse 9, and I will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay my vows to the Lord. In other words, he made a promise that when I get out of this thing, I'm going to serve you. Amen. How is it that sometimes we want the Lord to work in our life only until the breakthrough happens? He made a promise that he wanted to serve the Lord all the days of his life. In other words, he wanted a redo. What are you saying, Pastor? I am simply saying this, that when you look at the book of Jonah, you will begin to see not just a calendar date, not just something that God wants to do on a calendar, but you will begin to see what God wants to do in you. And the very first thing that Jonah does was that he repented. I am the one that did wrong. When he did that, the redemptive work of God began to work in his life. That is what started the process, my friends. And some of us want to praise God, and some of us want to pray, and we need to go back and ask for forgiveness from someone. We want to declare God's promises, but yet we don't want to keep his principles. You see, Jonah admitted that he was wrong, and then he began to pray. Jesus said that when you pray, leave your gift at the altar and go make things right before you pray. You see, my friends, Jonah admitted he did wrong, and then he began to participate in persistent prayer, and that fish that was strong became weak. Because he began to pray, and the very situation that had him in bondage actually became a womb to birth God's promises in his very life. My friends, I said all of this to say this, is that this church has been praying for a while, and I have been sent to tell you this message on a Sunday morning from the Lord. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. It is a breeding ground of miracles. Expectation is the breeding ground of miracles. You may not see anything happen this morning or tomorrow or next week, but I promise you, the more that you sow into the Spirit, the more it's breaking the fallow ground in the Spirit. And eventually, there's not only going to be a stay through, there's going to be a breakthrough. Can I hear an amen? And the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is saying this: it may look like a Red Sea to you, but it's not going to be a roadblock for you. It may be a drought to you, but it's not going to be a desert. It may be a trial to you, but it's only going to be temporary. It may be frustrating, but it's not going to last forever. It may hurt you, but it won't hinder you. It may cut you, but it won't kill you. It may paralyze you, but my friends, it won't kill you. It may be slow, but it won't stop you. It may scare you, but it won't enslave you. It may try to burn you, but it won't break you. God says, I'm using it to birth something in the spirit world. Woo! Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Hallelujah. Woo! The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody give God praise today. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Hold on, I want to tell you something. Several years ago, I went to bed one night, and as I was sleeping, this is no disrespect to any of my family. This is just a story about how God works. The Lord gave me a dream about my biological brother. And in this dream, my biological brother was on drugs. And so in this dream, he went into this person's home and murdered them in this dream. I was awakened in the middle of the night with this dream. And as I was awakened from this dream, my chest felt so heavy because in this dream, he murdered someone. And I was like, I knew it was from the Lord. I mean, I was so vivid. So I get out of the bed, and I couldn't hardly walk. I just felt so burdened. I get out of the bed and knelt down by the end of my bed, and I didn't know what to say. I started speaking in tongues like, oh, my God, don't let this happen. Don't let this happen. Don't let this happen. I don't know where he's at, what he's doing. God, don't let this happen. Well, he was addicted to meth, a history of it. And I was like, Lord, please don't let this happen. I was praying. For days, I prayed over it consistently, persistently. I don't know how much long, maybe a week or two later, I get this phone call from my mom, and she's screaming on the other end of the phone. I said, Mom, what's wrong? She said, your brother, she says, the police is looking for him. They have helicopters looking for him. This is a mass chase for him. I said, what's wrong, Mom? She said, your brother was on meth, and he broke into someone's home and tied him up, and he almost killed them instantly. The Spirit said to me, it didn't happen because you prayed before. You prayed before. And sometimes this is what happens. We want to call on God when tragedy happens. But if you will lean into the Spirit will tell you before things ever happen. So when tragedy happens, you don't have to fall apart. You can say, I've already been with God. I know He's already working it out. And that thing that is masculine is becoming feminine because I have prayed. And so today I'm asking you, would you fill the altars this morning? Come and find a place to pray today. Oh, come on. Now we got some time. The Methodist church is not even out, okay? So we have some time. Would you get out of your seat and come around the front and let the Lord visit you today? Come on. Come on. Let's come around the front. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, 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 thank you, Father. Would you find a place to pray? Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your Spirit today. Thank you for your anointing today, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I hear the Spirit say to someone, I don't know who it is, but the Spirit has spoke to someone that as I was preaching this morning, the Spirit has told me to tell somebody is on the verge of giving it up. You've come to church this morning and you've already decided that this thing don't even work, that you've prayed about things and that you've sought the Lord and you see nothing happening. And so you're just here just to be here, but you've already decided this thing don't work. The Spirit spoke to me this morning and told me to tell someone that's a lie. It is a lie. This message was for you. That there is power in persistent prayer. The very thing that is masculine, the very thing that would try to hold you in bondage can be broken through consistent and persistent prayer. Father, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. That's all right. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is working. In Jesus' name. For the Spirit of the Lord would say to you today, know this. That I, the Lord, thy God, doesn't have to prove anything to you. For I have already proven my love for the world. And I have already stretched my arms out to the world. And I have proven my attributes in the beauty of the world that I have created. And I would say unto you that I shall open up your eyes and you shall see. You will see what I have said. And you will discern my word, says the Lord. Yes. And I will bring you to a place, says the Lord, where your eyes will be open and you will see all things clearly. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Magnify the Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor today, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. How many senses the Spirit here today? Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that there's such a renewal of the Spirit. There's the strength of the Spirit upon our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. How many senses the Spirit here this morning? Amen. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you.